Jesus. The yellow light!
I'm walking here! I'm
walking!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. You should download it immediately and you'll be able to stream the video of the show. We've got three cameras set up all over the place. Something I have to be reminded about during the commercial breaks, if I'm being honest. The radical left, they're now pretending if Donald Trump is reelected that the 911 operators are going to ask you your political affiliation before sending help. You cannot make this up. And it's what's trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Do you remember Miles Taylor?
Vaguely.
So he's the dude who worked under the Trump administration. I think he's a holdover actually as early as George W. Bush. I think he was there the entire time. And he was the guy who wrote the anonymous essay in the New York Times about how evil and incompetent Donald Trump is. And if we allow him to stay in office, it's going to become an authoritarian state. So we might as well just remove him unilaterally without a vote of the people, which is a little bit ironic, I understand. But hey, hashtag, you got to do what you got to do. That's that guy. And he put out a book last year. Wasn't very good. Certainly not as, you know, compelling a read as just picking something at random. What's Killing America Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. That was by me. I wrote that one.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, it was very fun. He now has a paperback version of that book. So he's going out and he's promoting it. And as someone who also had to do the promoting circuit, you go on TV and you say things that are outrageous. Like I said, if you buy my book, you'll find out the secret to youthful skin. I said that. It's buried in the back of the book and it's in code. You have to pull out the first letter of each paragraph in chapter 7 and it tells you the secret. Very difficult to write a chapter with that in mind, let me tell you. But you do what you got to do. He's out there saying something that what I just said is more believable than what Miles Teller just said. Or what's his name? Taylor. I keep wanting to say Teller because of the actor. Who I like. This Miles I don't like. Why'd you do that look? You don't like Miles Teller?
No, I was saying you kind of insulted Miles Teller by calling him that.
Well, it was a mistake because, you know, Teller is very similar. So this is what he said on MSNBC today.
Now, in the first term, as everyone knows, we talked him out of a lot of ridiculous things, often things that were immoral, even more frequently things that were illegal or unconstitutional. Uh-huh. Trump was looking towards reelection and avoided many of those very damaging actions. And
did he? That's all you guys talked about. It's literally all you talked about. And please remind me about the unconstitutionality of all those things that Donald Trump put into play as you now will defend Joe Biden and his new scheme to yet again circumvent the Supreme Court decision to give a bunch of people free money for their student loan.
Second term, he won't be talked out of it. So what do I mean by a different type of government?
I guess that's the new one, by the way, because, you know, my retort is always, oh, he's going to do, why didn't he do this the first time? Well, now he can't be talked out of it. You just said he couldn't be talked out of it and did all those things. Didn't he just say that?
He did.
He literally just said that, but now he's like, oh, but this time he can't be talked out of it.
I want you to imagine for a second, Willie, if you called 911, okay, and instead of them saying, what's your emergency? They said, Willie, did you vote Democrat? Or did you vote Republican? That's what Trump wanted to do on a red state by blue state basis. If there was a tornado or a hurricane or a terrorist attack, uh-huh, Trump wanted to withhold aid from blue states to get leverage and give aid to red states to reward them for fealty. That happened in meetings with him in the Oval Office. He wanted to withhold from people who didn't support him. That's not how government's supposed to work, whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Zero proof that that is true. Zero. Now, I'm assuming that if Miles, don't call me Teller, Taylor was in that meeting, probably a whole bunch of other lower level staff were there too. And somehow that didn't leak except in your book, which you kept secret until it was published. That, are we pretending that? Okay. Now, in fairness, was that just a sloppy metaphor about 911? Or did he mean that literally? Because I couldn't quite tell. I've listened to it three times. if I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, I'll say it was sloppy, but I'm not going to. So it was just a dumb comment.
Well, I was
going to
say he used the word literally, so you know he's serious.
But that's the thing. You know, he's using terms either, and people, in fairness, use the term literally incorrectly all the time. All the time. I certainly believe that there was a conversation about how we're putting out aid around the economic reality due to COVID. That part I believe. That's not what he said, but I would certainly believe that. And I would certainly believe the conversation is, are we going to throw money into states that are purposely keeping their economies closed needlessly? Or do we support the states that are reopening? Because if we support the states that are closed, it's just going to continue to convince themselves that they can stay closed because they're going to get an endless check from the government. Like, that part I could believe. I don't think it was the fealty statement. Like, that's just so dumb. It doesn't make any sense. But that's what makes him a radical. And this, again, is going to be the biggest talking point headed into the election outside of abortion, which is Donald Trump in office is dangerous. He's an authoritarian. He didn't do it the first time, but the second time, he's not. When he's much older, he's definitely not going to be able to resist it. That's what they're saying. You had Biden going on, Univision, saying this.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump.
Oh, God.
Seriously. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
God, they're just so shameless. They are so shameless. And it's not even that I don't expect it from Joe Biden, like I do. I expect that a reasonable journalist who just wants to at least be taken seriously respond by saying, well, okay, let's give the context of that. When he said he wanted to be a dictator, he followed up by saying, as evidence of his dictatorship, I'm going to close the border day one. That's it. And then he said, just for a day, by the way, being a dictator, just for a day so I can close the border. That is what he said. Anyone who just simply says seriously, oh, he said he wanted to be a dictator, they're just lying to you. And they know that you could simply Google this and find out in 13 seconds. They already know that. They know that. And they're saying it anyway.
The thing I find most objectionable to this rhetoric is not that it's like absurd, but more just that at this point it's just boring.
It's the same talking point, but you got a repetition sells, right? You got to put it out there multiple times. It's all about frequency, baby, frequency. Then you got Jemele Hill is out there, since we're just going to do a roundabout of all the cray-cray. Jemele Hill is the internet's dumbest columnist. I think we can all say that, at least nationally speaking. We've got local columnists who are on, I think we can call them dumb too, but that's mean. So I wouldn't call it. So I take that back about Jemele Hill. It's true, but it's mean to just call someone dumb. So let's just call her. Now we'll stick with dumb. So she was doing a radio interview, and they ended up talking about The Rock and the fact that Dwayne Johnson last week on Fox News said he's not going to endorse any candidate, but he's not going to endorse again Joe Biden. Now, what he said in context was actually pretty obvious, which is, it's going to divide my fan base. I don't need to do that. I learned my lesson. I got a lot of pushback from people who like me. I'm a dopey actor. What do they care who I vote? This is my business. That's basically what he said. Not more eloquently, by the way. My version was more eloquent. But this is how Jemele Hill took it. And then listen to where she goes.
I don't understand how Joe Biden is the divisive one when what he's running against is pushing bigotry, xenophobia.
Okay, what else?
Every other phobia and ism you could possibly name. That is what they're literally campaigning on. Joe Biden is not campaigning on those same things. And so I don't even understand how Joe Biden got attacked for being the one who's dividing people.
Well, there was that whole thing about calling half the country fascists and extremists. That's a little tiny bit divisive. Just a little bit. Jemele Hill, aside from just completely misunderstanding the quote from Dwayne Johnson, doesn't understand why Joe Biden is considered divisive, because she's more divisive than he is. And she thinks that this is normal viewpoints. Like, it's a legitimate viewpoint. She's the one who said, and I think it was like, I'll just be blunt, every single Donald Trump supporter is a racist. Every single one. So she believes 74 million people in this country are racist. That's her view. She's someone who thinks it's racist when you say you don't want Kamala Harris to be the president. She thinks it's racist when you call out or criticize a black woman who created a kidnapping hoax that led to a 2-day search for a baby that was not missing because it didn't exist. And we're told that it's racist to criticize. We're told by her that if you don't buy like an EV, I'm sure you're racist. If you don't like Abbott Elementary on ABC News, you're probably racist, or ABC, you're racist. If you don't like me and my column at The Atlantic, racist. Like, this is someone who legitimately believes everyone is, literally believes that everyone is racist. That's normalizing abnormal behavior, abnormal viewpoints. And so to her, she just doesn't understand why someone might see that as divisive. Because they are on the left, on the radical left, not Democrats, although polling, they're pretty intolerant of folks on the right. And I was looking up some polls over the course of the last few years, all of it post or right at the beginning of the Donald Trump term. And I found that I found this really interesting. A study by Pew Research Center found that 41% of Democrats say they would not date someone who voted for a Republican presidential candidate, compared to 13% of Republicans who said they wouldn't date someone who voted for a Democrat presidential candidate. Now, that's like a pretty stark contrast between the two. A YouGov survey found that Democrats were significantly more likely than Republicans to say they would be upset if their kid married someone of the opposite political party than them. That's just like, it's not only your dating habits, but your kids' dating habits. It's just sick. The Cato Institute conducted a survey that said 52% of Democrats support firing business executives who privately donate to Trump's reelection campaign. Privately. You had to dig on Open Secrets and go to the PDC website and find this information. They should be fired. The American National Election Studies, they put out a study, found that Democrats express more negative feelings toward Republicans than Republicans did toward Democrats. Democrats on the radical left assume the absolute worst of people they don't agree with. The absolute worst. They assume that you're evil, that you're dumb, that you're backwoods. They think they're evolved, but you're the idiot. And all these polls point that out. It's all intolerance. And so, of course, Jemele Hill doesn't understand why Joe Biden is seen as divisive. Of course, the Democrat Party can't figure out, why are these younger voters leaving? Why are men leaving? Why are blue-collar men leaving the Democrat Party? I wonder, could it be that you're accusing them constantly about toxic masculinity, like all the time? Is it possibly because you don't actually believe in gender anymore? And most men are like, no, I can't get pregnant, turns out. Yeah, we haven't tried, but I know how these things generally work. Why is it that Latinos are leaving in a huge way? Why? Could it be also the gender identity thing? Could it be the whole, well, we're godless party, we love it because we're post-God. Could that play a little bit of a role? Like just a little tiny bit? Probably. But they don't understand it. They don't see it. They can't figure it out because they're so consumed by their intolerance. And it's funny because what's one thing that Republicans are doing right now? They're starting to change their conversation around abortion because they realize it is turning people away. It's turning people off. They're smart enough to say, even though this is a deeply held position, okay, I got to maybe think about this in a slightly different way. I have to understand the position that I disagree with, what motivates them, what they're concerned with, why they hold that view. Democrats don't generally do that on the radical left. They don't, because the second you disagree with them is the second you're dismissed. And that, by the way, is also true amongst Democrats versus progressives. Progressives hate the Democrats who even one time say something out of line. Look at John Fetterman. Look at John Fetterman. He says one thing that's reasonable, like Israel should exist, always a sellout. He says squatters shouldn't have rights. What are you talking about? Oh, he betrayed us. He's still wearing that slobby Like, what is going on? Can he not? That's the one thing that I just wish he would do. Just present yourself. I'm not going to agree with you probably 8 times out of 10. And that's okay. It's okay if you're doing it from a good place. We can disagree. But I can't agree with not wearing a tie, number one. And I judge people who don't wear ties to work, regardless of the situation that they're in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I do. And if you ever dress like John Fetterman, what was one of the rules I told you when you first started?
Well, no short sleeves, no shorts.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else? They go on your feet, only at the beach. And if
oh, no sandals, yeah.
Oh, if I see your toes ever, it better be because someone cut off your foot and is parading it around the studio. Why would they do? I don't know. But, you know, they're crazy people. Okay. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
As we told you last week, there are some residents who are pretty ticked off that the city of SeaTac decided to cancel the use of actual fireworks and instead for the 4th of July celebrations use drones. Not that they have anything against drones, but they don't like the idea of getting rid of fireworks. The decision that was made because of a complaint that had nothing to do, actually, with fireworks, but it had something to do with the access to Angle Lake during a different event. But the city decided to move forward anyway. Some folks are speaking out. There's a petition that was started over at change.org. It's simply called Save Angle Lake 4th of July Fireworks. The guy behind it is Josh Sweet, and he joins me now. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Good to be here.
So what is the basic complaint about replacing fireworks with drones? Because I'm in the camp of I kind of like the drones. I actually think they're pretty cool.
Yeah. So from my perspective, I mean, this is a longstanding tradition on Angle Lake going back decades and decades. I've got a neighbor who's in his 70s who lives in the house that he grew up in next door to me. And he doesn't recall a year outside of COVID where fireworks weren't part of the Angle Lake celebration. So for my wife and I, we've lived here about 5 years, and we had attended a couple of 4th of July fireworks shows at our neighbor's place, and it was really kind of the catalyst for us moving here. So 4th of July, the fireworks celebration, it's a time where the community really gets together, and it's just kind of surprising that the city would unilaterally opt to transition away from that, transition away from funding or helping to fund the fireworks display without some type of community engagement, which they do for the hydroplane races each year as well. They pulse the community to determine whether or not people have any concerns about that. So it's kind of like canceling Christmas or canceling Super Bowl for the summer on the lake.
It is very odd that they made that decision without, to your point, even trying to figure out where the community stands. I mean, giving them the benefit of the doubt, I'm assuming they thought this wouldn't be that big of a deal. But obviously, you know, you're not the only person who has stepped up and said that this is pretty silly. Now, the argument that was given by, I think his name is Kyle Moore. He was the SeaTac government comms manager. And he told King 5 that there are environmental and safety issues concerning fireworks. All of a sudden, they're talking about loading explosives onto a barge as if it's like, you know, moving a nuclear reactor or something. It's just fireworks. Everyone relax. But that sort of just came out of nowhere, I guess.
Yeah. So from an environmental impact standpoint, you know, I would love to know what the facts and data are, you know, that are kind of leading to them to this conclusion. So Angle Lake is part of the King County Lake Stewardship Program, and it is one of the cleanest lakes in King County, crisp water, despite the fact that it's in close proximity to the airport. So, and with the fireworks display, having been a part of the Angle Lake community for decades, I don't really understand where they're saying the impact is coming from. And then in terms of safety, the fireworks display is put on by professionals, licensed professionals that come out. They stage the show. It's on barges in the middle of the lake that are far away from, you know, the general public. And the fireworks display is actually discharged by remote. Mm-hmm. So and even the barges are permanent fixtures on the lake. They're residence docks that get moved out into the center of the lake and anchored out there.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, as much as I'm not particularly passionate about fireworks, the second I get a really bad excuse for something, just instinctively I'm saying, okay, never mind, I'm on team fireworks now, because that's kind of absurd. So since yeah. you've put out the petition, I'm assuming you've heard from members of the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've talked with the Shore Club board president. I've spoken with my neighbors. I haven't found anyone, including, you know, the complainant himself, to say, you know, that we are opposed to having fireworks on the lake. You know, even despite the city's position, he's noted that there's no, you know, impediment to people accessing the lake based on the fireworks. The big thing that I wonder about as well is, you know, the city's stewardship of our taxpayer dollars, right? Because if they're paying $40,000 for this drone show, from my perspective, that nobody really wants, how much do they contribute annually to the dollars that are raised by the community to offset the cost of the standard fireworks show? Because I would contend it's probably a lot less than what they're contributing, you know, to fully fund this show.
If the city does the outreach, they say, okay, we're doing our mea culpa. Sorry, we rushed to this. They do the city outreach, but then come to the same conclusion. I mean, are we at the point where you think that the community trust is broken?
You know, I don't know. I think it's such a catch-22. Mm-hmm. When you think about it from a safety standpoint, from my perspective, like during COVID, people around the lake, despite the illegality of fireworks and SeaTac, put on a bunch of their own fireworks shows. So if the city of SeaTac says, you know, even if the Angle Lake Shore Club decides to fully fund this fireworks show on its own, and we're not going to give you a permit to do that, the safety issues around the lake, I think, are going to be exponentially greater if left in the hands of sort of homeowners out there having a good time with all of their friends.
There you go. If people want to get more involved, you don't have to live in SeaTac to save the Angle Lake 4th of July fireworks show. Obviously, there are folks who come from all over the area to join, enjoy the fireworks show. So if you live in Federal Way, if you live in Seattle, if you live in Shoreline and you go head on over there, you know, make sure you sign the petition if you want to make sure that the fireworks show is preserved. Again, you go to change.org and just search Save Angle Lake 4th of July Fireworks. Sign the petition. They're looking for another 100 signatures to meet their next goal. And, you know, the more signatures they gather, the more this will be taken seriously by the city of SeaTac. We've been talking with Josh Sweet. He's the man behind the effort to save the Angle Lake 4th of July fireworks show. And I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks so much, Jason. I really appreciate your time as well.
Absolutely. Again, you can go to change.org and just search Save Angle Lake 4th of July fireworks, or just Google that and it's the first link that shows up. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Don't forget, our local tax expert and advocate Greg Nunn wants you to know the IRS gets very aggressive now with some of those older cases where you owed money and you've been letting it go. If you just got a form CP504 from the IRS, do not ignore it. Be proactive for everyone else who owes money as well. Resolve your situation by calling Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Google N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, the big local.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. It's part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start in Anacortes with a bit of an odd story that I think is taking on a life of its own because of how poorly it's being handled, frankly. We take you to a casino, hotel casino, that decided to close its doors and then kind of act cagey, I think. That's how I would explain it. We're talking about the Squamish Casino and Lodge. They say they're closed until further notice due to a quote-unquote technical issue. Now, what is that technical issue? I don't know. They won't explain. And the second you don't get specific or even give me a hint other than technical is too vague. What does that mean? Whenever you do that, I immediately get suspicious. And oftentimes, 9 times out of 10, you needlessly get suspicious. You come in and they're like, oh no, it was this. It was like, well, why didn't you just say it? Why are you keeping it a secret? So people who had reservations get canceled, they were obviously surprised. They were thrown. You've got workers who aren't allowed to go back into work. They just put out a statement that said, temporarily closed. Our technical issues will require us to remain closed. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause and appreciate your understanding. No one's understanding. Our team is actively working to resolve the issues. Updates on the reopening will be provided as soon as possible. Thank you for your support. Blah, blah, blah. So that's just not a satisfying response. I want to know why. Haley probably wants to know why. She spoke with Cairo 7 TV. She was going to surprise her boyfriend with a trip to the casino that he probably wanted to go to the other one anyway. It's like, can't we go to Snoqualmie? You're taking me over to Anacortes. I mean, do I really want to have to deal with the ferries? Like, really? Because have you tried to go on a ferry? Unless you get up really early and you're going, I guess, to Bremerton, you'll be fine. But haven't you been hearing the news?
Some people think they're fun.
They're not.
I'm like, are they going to refund me? Well, actually, I was going to surprise him. And we tried to go to the Tulip Festival, but it was really windy. So we decided to come check in, and it's not even open. Wouldn't they tell me it's canceled or something? Well, I also saw like the employees just standing behind the door, and I'm like, maybe one of you should like come out here since we're all just standing outside the door confused.
Okay. I can already tell I think you might be kind of annoying, but I kind of like the attitude at the same time. I'm kind of in a weird place right now where I want to mock you, but I kind of like you. That's the kind of person she is. Her response is very legitimate and reasonable. It really is. And there's nothing worse if you're someone who's maybe naturally curious to be outside of a business that's closed, but you can clearly see the employees in during business hours not saying anything to you, right? That makes me antsy, like I'm missing something. Now, despite not giving any details, Cairo 7 TV said they spoke to a worker off camera who said the gaming floor is closed, food and beverage outlets are closed. They haven't given us any kind of update via email like they usually do. He believes that the internet and phones went down. If that's really what happened, why not just say that? Is that scandalous of some kind? Like, what, am I missing something if that's the actual reason? Go onto their Facebook page and let's see if maybe they provided an update, because I have yet to find a single update, but I haven't gone on their Facebook page lately. Greg Sullivan, however, is a former worker at this casino. He also spoke with Cairo 7 TV and said, yeah, this is going to hurt employees pretty badly.
This impact is substantial on the workers, particularly the workers that are not salary employees.
Yeah, because they're not going to be getting paid. And, you know, depending on how long this is going to last, and again, because we don't know what the issue is, we don't know how long it's going to last. You're closed on a Friday or Saturday, like you're missing out on a lot of cash. And, you know, the people who are going, who are local, who go to casinos, they either go a lot or they go a little, right? So in either way, you're either missing out on someone who's a, you know, a frequent flyer who's giving you a whole lot of money, or the money you don't, you know, don't consistently get during the week, but they come out on a Friday or Saturday night. You're like, oh, so did they give an update?
I haven't heard one.
Okay, so there's nothing on the Facebook page.
Let me check.
Oh, like when I asked you to look at this. Oh my God. Now he's going to very uncomfortably type in and he's going to screw something up like the spelling. He doesn't even remember the name, I could tell, of the casino and lodge. But if I were to tell him that it's Swinomish Casino and Lodge.
No, I knew that part.
Okay. Oh, now he's uncomfortable again. But he hit the delete button like 3 times because he's not able to perform under pressure like this. And he knows everyone's looking at him now. He knows that there's a webcam on that's right on him now. He's still looking. He can't tell. It's like, okay, what am I looking for? I don't know how to work interweb.
Their last post was 2 days ago, And it still says, our technical issues will require us to remain closed.
Yeah, this is the same thing. Give us an answer. What could it possibly be? Now, am I the only one who then immediately just goes to, like, did they steal, you know, information from players? Did they, were there, like, skimmers on the slot machines? Is it something? That's the first thing I go to in a story like this. And again, they'll probably come out tomorrow and say, oh, yeah, no, we our AC went down or our heater went down or something, and we couldn't allow people to come in and then pass out because it's too hot, or, you know, get frostbite because it's too cold. Like, nothing. It's always interesting to see how poorly, when we're talking about, like, very small brands or very local brands react to simple news. Right? It's just very odd. And I'm sure they're not doing this intentionally, because, like I said, it's probably nothing. It probably is their internet went down. And who cares if your internet goes down? Can you not have the slot machines without an internet connection? I'm assuming so. Isn't it all done internally?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean...
And your phones go down. Who cares? Who uses a phone? Use your cell.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Something just feels off to me. So we'll keep an eye on this, mostly because I'm just weirdly curious. I don't know what makes me so naturally curious about random things, but I am. Meanwhile, the Everett City Council will be voting on proposed changes to the bikini barista dress code. Now, remember, this all has been drama for years, like years, as to whether or not someone can operate at work wearing a bikini. And it got to the point where the courts were involved, and ultimately, as it made its way through the court system, said, yeah, you can't just, like, unilaterally come up with these kinds of dress codes because it is against their First Amendment rights, which is freedom of expression. Fox 13 says potential changes in the dress code will be put to a vote in Everett. The council has to decide on the changes as part of a lawsuit settlement after the federal court ruling. Though their choice of attire is not the typical poolside fashions, bikini baristas could soon work in minimal clothing as long as it's in compliance with the city's lewd conduct dress requirement standards. Everett Deputy City Attorney Ramsey Rammerman. That's a good name. I mean, it's silly and kind of comical, but I like it. Ramsey Rammerman, or Rammerman, says that baristas are going to be able to dress just as they would anywhere else in the city.
The baristas will be able to dress just as they can anywhere else in the city, meeting the lewd conduct standard, which is basically a minimal bikini. The original purpose of this legislation was primarily to address the exploitative conduct of the barista stand owners, who were able to encourage illegal conduct at the stands while facing very little personal risk. In the lawsuit in 2020, the trial court upheld the city's lewd conduct ordinance, but found that the minimum dress requirement in the quick service ordinance violated equal protection of the baristas.
Was he nervous? Did he have a little bit of a cold?
Well, I can't sniffling tell. There, yeah.
So he said a lot of things. I'm not quite sure I followed everything that he said, but basically you're going to have to follow the new rules. The new rules are going to be in compliance with whatever the court had decided previously, or at least with the settlement they agreed to. And at the end of the day, he says, whatever the rule is, this is going to be up to the owner of the business to make sure their employees comply, or they end up losing their license.
Onus on the stand owners to ensure that their employees are complying with the lewd conduct standard while they are at work, and they will face potential fines and probationary license requirement, and ultimately could lose their license after 3 violations.
We had a string of stories, and I don't think this was the norm, but we had a string of stories in which the bikini baristas were flashing, and even maybe, as I recall, one was, like, accused of doing something sexual or trying to sell some. Like, that clearly should have been separated from this entire conversation from the beginning. I don't know why the city of Everett decided to single out these kinds of shops for the dress code, which is what got them in trouble legally to begin with. I understand why people don't like the idea of bikini baristas. Wives probably don't like it. People who have daughters probably don't like it. It's just kind of gross in a weird way, but it's not too gross. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to pretend that this is, like, going to a strip joint or pornography. It very clearly isn't. To me, I take no issue with the bikini baristas. I don't care what they do. But it's the guy who's all excited to go to the bikini barista, doesn't even like coffee, doesn't have caffeine ever, and just goes there to, like, look at them. It just seems...
it's a little odd.
Pervy to me. And again, it's not like I care in a traditional sense of I'd be outraged if this were near me. I wouldn't be. And the women can do whatever it is they want. I remember it was on the east side of the state. I doubt it's still open, though. There was a male bikini barista style. It wasn't a bikini, obviously. Oh, no, maybe. I don't know. You don't judge. But it was a male who was shirtless and in, I think, Speedos. I can't remember if it was a coffee shop or if it was like a bar. But it was with bar. It's obviously that's like every gay bar in the world. But it might have been a coffee shop. Do you remember that story vaguely? I feel like it was in Spokane. And this happened around the time where every single week there was a story about bikini baristas. Every single week. And of course, I know why news outlets wanted to cover this. Because they wanted to show the women in bikinis. Which allowed them to bring in more male audience. But also talk about it in a serious, newsy way. In a way that's totally respectful of women.
You know what they say, sex sells, right?
It really does. Thank you for that contribution. I did not know that. You know what else they say? If it bleeds, it leads. Did you ever hear
I've heard that,
one?
Too, yes.
You got to come up with one we haven't heard of yet. And when in doubt, make it up. I'm not going to fact check it in the middle of the show. So we'll see. Obviously, we'll see what this ends up looking like. I imagine this is the last we'll hear of it outside of we'll get an update that they said yes to whatever the new dress code is. And your husbands can sneak out of the house a little bit early to make a stop at the coffee shop, even though they don't like coffee, but just want to look at another woman who's almost, they're not even nude. That's the thing. They're not even nude. You've never, I know it's Washington and we don't have like this big beach scene. Like I get that, but you've seen women in bikinis before. This doesn't even seem all that interesting to me. I don't know what's up with you heterosexual men. I just don't get that. And lesbians who might be frequenting this. But something tells me it's just heterosexual men. The idea that someone who you're attracted to is shirtless as a male. Yeah, okay. Cool. It is what it is. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, you pick the story. Story number one. African-American groups call for ditching a racist Francis Scott Key name of the Baltimore Bridge. Oh, my God. Are they blaming racism for it coming down as well? Or story number two, related, an ABC sitcom star you haven't heard of but was on a good show became just unhinged, just absolutely unhinged in a podcast comparing Trump to Hitler and all sorts of things. Oh my gosh, which story should we cover? 1-800-465-8770 for your texts.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rance Show.
Indeed you do. You're very curious about racism, which, I mean, could have been either story, honestly. I'm sure the podcast starring Jennifer Lewis as a guest probably claimed that Trump is a white supremacist, too. Did you ever see Black-ish?
I've seen commercials for it, but never watched it.
It was a very funny show. The last season was awful, but leading up to it was really, really funny. Then it started to get too preachy. And like, okay, well, we don't need this, man. You can just be, you were funny before and you weren't all preachy. One of the actresses on the show is Jennifer Lewis. She played the mother of Anthony Anderson. Very funny character. I have no clue who she is. I don't think I've seen her in anything before, but I'm sure she's done. I think she's a character actress, which she kind of looks familiar, but I couldn't name her ever. I didn't even know her name until I saw the story. But I recognized her. I recognized her voice. She is getting called out because she goes on a podcast and she just goes kind of nuts, like legitimately nuts. She went on with Zerlina, I think Maxwell. I see her on Twitter every so often because sometimes I hate respond to people who are on the far left, which triggers Elon Musk's algorithm to now serve me only crazy progressive tweets, which just make me so upset. And then I hate respond to those. And just it's an endless circle of self-abuse. But she went on her show, Mornings with Zerlina. And it just, oh, my God.
He will punish everybody that didn't vote for him. Let me tell y'all how I know this.
Okay, tell us. She's going to tell us about Trump.
I know it because I know what mental illness looks like.
That I believe.
Mm.
That mania is unstoppable. This is Hitler. He didn't come to play.
Okay. So we got some more. I'm going to rephrase how I talked about her on the show, because that's how she is on the show. Less cussing, obviously, and wasn't inherently political like this. But that, is it possible? Just go with me. Is it possible she's playing a character here?
Maybe. Or maybe she's just trying to draw attention to herself.
But why? I think she's in her early 70s, late 70s. Like, what does she need any attention?
You know, Hollywood people, you know, they're self-absorbed. You know.
Well, that part's true. So she says, if Trump wins, we're never going to get rid of him. Unlike the first time when he won and then left the White House early on Inauguration Day.
If that man gets in, as soon as he takes the oath, he will have generals walk down the steps of the Capitol.
Okay.
He will take a hammer
literally
and break the glass where the Constitution is, and he will tear it up in our faces.
I think she's being metaphorical.
Mm.
Right.
And say, now, I'm the king of world.
If she wasn't so crazy, God, I love her. I like the personality. She's an insane person. There's no doubt. But like the whole performance,
it's kind of charming in a weird way.
It really is, because it almost sounds like a bit, right? It legitimately almost sounds like a bit. And the only reason why I don't think it's a bit is because I don't think Zerlina Maxwell or whatever her name is does that, because she's known as being just a far left voice. So I don't think that she's doing a bit here. But I like the whole, especially in the second clip, where she starts out like this and she's building up a point. And you kind of think you know where she's going to go, and you're kind of expecting to keep this tone. And then it goes into this. I like that. I really like that.
The crescendo.
Right? I find it oddly charming. That said, she's mentally ill and needs to be put away. I feel bad for people like this, legitimately bad, if she believes what she just said. I can mock them at the same time that what she just said is insane and unhinged. But I feel bad if you're truly broken that way. Donald Trump broke so many people. And weirdly enough, it's responses like this that lead people who previously probably didn't vote for him and maybe was a little turned off to say, okay, my God, why don't you relax? Which then forces them to focus less on the personality, because they don't want anything to do with this woman or this kind of thinking. So then they go back and they're like, well, you know what? Actually, I kind of liked his policies. I want nothing to do with crazy, whatever her name is, Jennifer Lewis. I don't want to be seen like someone like this. So, you know, maybe I'll actually give him a shot. And now that I think about it, boy, my finances were so much better under a Trump administration. Gas prices weren't crazy like they are now. Inflation wasn't crippling me like it is now. And I think this stuff actually pushes people into Donald Trump's side. And I'll say this personally. When he first ran, I wasn't a fan. I didn't like the personality all that much. I like him. But because of his personality, I didn't think he was capable of being a decent president. I'm not like into the whole celebrity politician thing. I just very rarely matters to me, with a couple of exceptions like Dr. Oz, only because he hooked me up with medication this one time. It was legal. Don't worry. I got the prescription. But he's a nice guy. I'm kidding. He didn't have a prescription. I'm kidding. He was a nice guy, and he's a doctor. He's smart. I give him a little bit of credit. But you're your average celebrity, whatever. Soon as he became president, I wanted nothing to do with anyone who was criticizing him, because the criticism wasn't based on policy. It was based on personality. And it took on such a separate sort of life, where it was just, oh my God, he's going to destroy the world. He's a Russian propaganda. He's a Russian puppet. And these people were just throwing everything. And it got me thinking about him differently. I, considered the actual, you know, life under him. And yeah, I was like, oh no, I like this guy. Which made me a bigger supporter of his. which made me vote for him this last time. I'm certainly going to vote for him this next time. And, you know, he comes on the show. He's like weirdly friendly and knew my name and was just very easy to talk to. He's got a, I can recognize a personality versus someone's actual personality. Like if you're doing it for the camera or if you're doing it as it's legitimate. And he's a legitimately nice guy. It's a Jason Rancho.